From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. As the Israel-Hamas war rages on, the World Health Organization and Palestinian health authorities are working together to vaccinate Palestinian children for polio. Gaza recently reported its first case of polio in 25 years in a 10-month-old baby boy whose leg is now paralyzed. Now, as of Tuesday, the World Health Organization reports it's ahead of its targets in Gaza, and in just 3 days, it had already inoculated about a quarter of children under the age of 10. They still have a lot of work to do, though, in other regions of Palestine. So joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and the co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Dr. Pate, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Gemma.
And remember, folks, if you have a public health question, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, let's just begin, if you could, by giving us a refresher on what polio actually is.
So polio, the disease, is caused by the polio virus, and that virus generally infects us by ingestion, and particularly from contaminated water sources in our food, those kinds of things. But it can be expelled from the guts of people that are infected with the virus, or people that get the form of polio vaccine that we don't use in the United States anymore, the oral polio vaccine, which is a weakened live virus. And so once it's passed in the stool, somebody has gotten vaccinated, it can actually be in the wastewater. And then if there's not good sanitary conditions or they're living with somebody who is vulnerable, then there can be spread from that virus that once re-ingested can activate back to the stronger form that can infect. So either way, with the wild virus or with the vaccine-derived virus in those countries that are using the oral vaccine, we started a campaign in 1988 to eradicate polio from the world. And It was an amazing success, except for two holdout countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan. So those, for the longest time, those were the two countries where the wild virus, the actual polio virus, circulated. But as people have moved in and out of those territories, they've also carried the virus. And then in countries where there's not a lot of health infrastructure, because the vaccine that we use has to be drawn up and injected, that's hard to do in developing countries. So they tend to go for the oral vaccine, which is very easy and doesn't take anybody skilled to administer it. But that weakened form can then cause what we call vaccine-derived virus spread when there's high degree of vulnerable people. And unfortunately, with the disruption to the healthcare in Gaza, this created the risk, as it does in all war zones, and especially when the sanitary conditions are disrupted.
So, Dr. Pate, this disease is something that for many of us is very shocking to hear about, that they're going in and vaccinating like this. Because the only thing that I ever knew about polio was the fact that, you know, FDR had polio as a child and he was in a wheelchair. And as I mentioned in the top of the segment, you know, they found this in Gaza for the first time in 25 years. This baby boy is now paralyzed in one leg. These are some of the impacts, correct, or some of the outcomes of polio when children get this, is it has a lot of devastating effects.
It does. And some people that are old enough will remember the pictures. In fact, my mom told me that when she would go to the movies back in the 50s, when I was an infant, they would have commercials at the beginning of the movie about the importance of getting this new vaccine, the polio vaccine, and showing pictures of people in the iron lungs. If you, in fact, our St. Luke's Rehabilitation Hospital, which was formerly the Elks Rehab Hospital, you can go in there and find pictures of What back in the 50s, they predominantly were taking care of polio patients that couldn't breathe on their own due to the paralysis, and so they were in the iron lungs, or they were getting rehab because they had atrophy of the muscles on one side of their body from polio or partial paralysis, those kinds of things. In fact, it was just, I think it was last year, that the last surviving iron lung patient from polio passed away.
So why is it critically important, and the fact that the World Health Organization got involved to get these children in Gaza, but we should say in other parts of Palestine, inoculated, and inoculated so quickly?
Right, because first of all, that virus is in the water and there. And most people that get infected with the polio virus won't develop these pronounced neurologic disturbances, which are very sad and tragic. So what that tells us is if you've got that one child that is infected as evidenced by the paralysis of his leg, there's probably 1,000 other kids that are infected and may or may not develop problems, because polio is one of those weird diseases that you can be fine now and decades later in life develop new onset of neurologic problems. So it means it's much more widespread than just that one case. I've actually heard an unconfirmed report that there may be several other children with neurologic impairments. Of course, it's hard to get good reporting out of Gaza with the disruption to the healthcare.
So, Dr. Pate, how could what's going on in Palestine right now in regards to polio impact those of us living here in the United States?
That is an excellent question. And we saw the answer to that question, I think it was 2 years ago, when someone traveled to New York. And there is a large segment of religious-related population that is under-vaccinated. And what we saw is that somebody who had gotten the polio vaccine overseas came to New York, shed it, and we saw a young man, I think he was in his late teens or maybe early 20s, he got polio disease. And in fact, my recollection of the reporting is that he's paralyzed from the neck down. And so that's how it can affect us, even in the United States, is travelers that come here and bring the virus, or us traveling to those countries. While there were just two countries that had the wild type virus, the last time I looked, there was something like 30 countries that had circulating levels of poliovirus that was vaccine derived, because they're still using that oral vaccine. So there are risks for travelers. The other thing that is a risk is the whole environment of that is becoming more anti-vax or vax skeptical. There are certain diseases that are very contagious, like polio, like measles, where in order to protect everyone, we need in excess of 90% of people vaccinated against that disease. But what we're seeing is, because people are spreading disinformation and scaring people from taking vaccines, that that rate is decreasing. And unfortunately, we know it's just a matter of time, as it happened in Gaza, when the levels of vaccination drop below the 90 percentile, that's when we're going to start seeing these cases that we essentially wiped out decades ago. We could see them recurring here in the United States.
I want to turn now to some COVID vaccine news, because, Dr. Pate, some good news in terms of the Novavax vaccine since you were on the program last week.
Right. Last week, we talked about the fact that the two mRNA COVID vaccines, these are the updated ones for the fall, Pfizer and Moderna, they got authorized and approved and were going to be started to be released, but we're waiting on word for Novavax. And now we have that. It has been authorized. So this is good because it's going to give people three choices, at least those that are 12 and older. If you're under the age of 12, you only have your choice of the two mRNA vaccines, Pfizer or Moderna. But for those 12 and older, Novavax gives you a third option. And there are some people who have heard a lot of the misinformation about mRNA and they don't want an mRNA vaccine. Okay. Well, Novavax is based on our decades-long technology of protein subunit vaccines. So it doesn't have any genetic material, no mRNA in it. And so that could be an option for you. The other reason it might be one to consider is mRNA vaccines do often cause a lot of early side effects, sore arms, swelling, muscle aches, headaches, those kind of things. And for most people, it's pretty tolerable and it goes away in a day or so. But for those people that have had serious enough side effects that they're reluctant to get another vaccine, Novavax works in a different way and it is far less likely to cause side effects. And so that could be a reason to get it. But you're going to have three choices, and I think that's wonderful. The big thing is to take one of the three.
Okay. Also, Dr. Pate, what about flu vaccine season? And I ask this because I'm already getting text alerts from my pharmacy saying, you know, time to get your flu vaccine. And then I look at the calendar and I'm like, it's September 4th. Isn't that a little early?
It is. And thank you for bringing this up, Jim, because I'm seeing all the advertisements and so forth that come in and get your flu shot. And also, if you do go in for your COVID updated vaccine, they're likely going to try to get you to take the flu vaccine too. It's too early right now. The reason we need to time this is that once you get the flu shot, within a couple of weeks, you're going to have pretty high levels of antibodies and a good response, but it is going to start fading or waning and at, you know, a few percent each month. And what we want to do is get you this flu shot at the appropriate time and time it so that you get through the whole flu season, which will almost always go through March, but even occasionally into April and May. So if you get it now, you're going to lose a couple months worth of protection. Just like last year on your show, we talked about when did we start seeing the uptick in flu cases? Mm-hmm. And then I announced to your listeners, okay, now it's time, get your flu shot now. And that way it'll give you more protection for longer.
Okay. And before I let you go, Dr. Pate, we have a question from a listener that I wanted to get to from Peggy. Peggy wrote in saying, I've been dealing with several months with GI issues that I think are the result of an adverse reaction to my fifth COVID vaccine. Should I be concerned about getting the next vaccine?
I don't think so. The problem is I don't have enough information to really make any kind of informed opinion. But what I can tell you, Peggy, is that most people that get GI side effects from the vaccines get it with the first dose and typically the first day after the vaccine. So the fact that you didn't get these symptoms until your fifth, which likely is, you know, several years after the first, makes me suspicious that maybe it's unrelated. I would certainly see your physician. There's COVID itself infection is much more likely to cause long-lasting GI effects. So talk to your doctor. But no, based on what you're telling me, this limited amount, I don't have a concern, but see what your doctor says.
Well, as always, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Pate, for coming in. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. And remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.